Welcome to Love with Integrity, a podcast that will expand your self-awareness and give you practical guidance on how to create deeply fulfilling relationships. I'm your host, Sylvie Kukasian, a relationship coach and writer with a master's degree in psychology, marriage and family therapy, and a creative background in film and acting. I will be merging psychology, art, philosophy, and meditative practices to give you the most nourishing insights and support in each episode. Let's begin. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about how the different attachment styles process breakups. This is a theme that I go into very often in my work with clients. I work with a lot of clients on helping them to process grief, process a breakup, and helping them to really understand how their attachment patterning also plays a role in their experience. If you are unfamiliar to attachment theory, I would recommend you go back to one of my previous episodes where I talk about attachment so that you can have a better understanding of what I'm referring to in this episode, and then come back to this one. So let's dig in. People with secure attachment patterning tend to process breakups with a greater sense of emotional resilience and stability. Because they have a healthy sense of self-worth, they are able to maintain a positive view of themselves in spite of the challenging feelings that they're going through. They're able to maintain their relationships with others, with friends, and other people they have had connections to, and really rely on those people as a source of support. And I can't emphasize how important this piece is when we're dealing with a breakup. Having safe people to witness our grief, to validate our grief, to help us hold it, is generally the thing that helps us move through it and integrate it over time. And we know that about people that have strong attachment, secure attachment patterns, is that they had the ability to really feel safe and experience trust in their relationships with their caregivers. So that gets mirrored in their adult relationships, especially when they're going through difficult times. They also tend to focus on personal growth and are able to utilize lots of self-care during this time and really connect to the things that bring them joy and fulfillment. And I want to say, this doesn't mean that people that have secure patterning don't go through profound sadness and pain. They absolutely do. They go through the depths of emotions. They can go through the five stages of grief, which is, depression, anger, and all the way into working through meaning, which David Kessler added into the stages of grief, right? Kubler-Ross was the one that developed the five stages, and David Kessler came in to add the sixth. And so they still go through the different emotions. Everyone's grief journey is very, very, very unique. And if they haven't processed certain experiences from their past, a breakup can absolutely pull up those experiences as well. So they may have additional things to work on. They just have a stronger ability to reach out for support, family support, friend support, even professional support. And if you're someone that resonates with this, and you tend to experience yourself as being fairly secure and really struggling, I want you to really rely on your natural strengths of those things, right? To be able to seek out that professional support to help you process your emotions, to help you develop healthy coping strategies, and to remind you of your strong social connections and where those might lie, and help you to reconnect with those people. For people with more anxious attachment patterning, they can struggle significantly in breakups. Their core fear and wound is abandonment. So even if they are the one that ends a relationship with a romantic partner or friend, they can still go through the experience, the emotional experience of abandonment, because they are no longer going to be with the person that they love and care for. And they rely so much on relationship and that co-regulation and soothing from the person they're in relationship with, that there's a big gap that can occur in that void that happens after a relationship comes to an end. It can also, you know, the breakup can also trigger intense feelings of insecurity and self-doubt, putting them in a lot of intense distress and anxiety, right? Anxious people tend to have high anxiety. So they might struggle to let go, right? The letting go process. And, you know, one of the stages of grief that Kubler-Ross talks about is the bargaining stage. So a lot of my anxious clients tend to get stuck in that stage for a while. They want to figure out how to make it work. What can I say differently? What can I do to reach out to them? Or what can I change about myself so that I can keep this relationship? Right. Even if they know logically that this relationship is not good for them, that the relationship needs to come to an end, but that desire to reconnect can be really, really strong for somebody that has anxious patterning. And it can also prolong the healing process and prevent them from moving on. So if you know this about yourself, you know, you can validate that, right? You can acknowledge that it's going to be particularly challenging for you in these ways because of your wound of abandonment and your difficulty with letting people that you love go. And you bond on a very deep level with people. You know, you are very other oriented. So you probably put in a lot of investment of time and energy and a lot of things into that relationship. So when it comes to an end, it can be really, really challenging. Right? I remember, you know, I resonate with having a lot of anxious tendencies. And I remember when a friendship breakup happened several years ago, gosh, a long, long time ago, it took me years to work through that experience. And I took on also a lot of responsibility for that relationship ending. And it was really hard for me to see their part. I wanted to take on a lot of that responsibility because I had control there, right? I couldn't control what was happening on the other side of the street. So I processed it, you know, with my therapist for many years until I was able to move towards a place of acceptance. And that happened recently. That happened within the last 2 years, I would say. And that was, the breakup happened almost 8 years ago. So, you know, my hope is that if you have anxious patterning and you're aware of this, you can work through it. Not necessarily more quickly, because I think there's this illusion that, you know, breakups, we can, you know, move through them fast. And, you know, yes, you can have the tools to hold them better, but your process is going to have its own timeline journey. And there is no way that we can control that. All we can do is nourish ourselves, surround ourselves with the people that are going to really help us hold it. And also, you know, for people that have anxious attachment, to really work on self-forgiveness. I would say for all of the insecure attachments, which I'm going to talk about the other two as well, there's a lot of self-forgiveness that needs to come into play. You know, we can go back and replay things that we wish we would have done differently and have a lot of remorse and regret. And, you know, reminding ourselves that we did the best we knew with what we had, and, you know, to really take that hard-earned wisdom into your future relationships. And that's one of the things I teach my clients a lot in my one-on-one work. So for people that have more dismissive avoidant tendencies, they typically respond to breakups in the initial stage. It's almost like seeming like they're unaffected by it, or this ability to really minimize or dismiss their emotions, right? Because they prioritize independence and self-reliance, that suppression of their feelings is one of their biggest coping mechanisms. But we know this is a facade, right? Underneath that coping mechanism and those defenses, they experience great feelings of loss and loneliness, and sometimes even relief for some of that, right? Because they can feel very overwhelmed by relationships. So even as they struggle, they might have some twangs of relief as well. And another thing that's challenging with people that have dismissive avoidant attachment patterns is that they struggle to open up about their emotions. So because of this, they often don't seek support from other people, right? They're trying to deal with their feelings internally, which can only take them so far, because we know grief, yes, there's a part of grief that's ours and it's ours alone, but there's another part of our grief that is you know, shared with our loved ones, and being able to really share those things that are happening for us is what helps us move through them. So some of the tools, you know, that I recommend if you have more dismissive avoidant tendencies is really to spend some time on a daily basis after your breakup, really acknowledging and validating your emotions, even if they feel uncomfortable. So that might include, you might not be ready to share it with other people, but you can do some of this process on your own. You can journal, you can engage in self-reflection, you know, thinking about what are some of the things that you would have done differently? What are some of the things you learned about yourself in this relationship? What would you like to take with you in your next relationship, right? And if you're stuck, seeking support, seeking therapy or coaching with someone who can help you work with your grief can be really beneficial to help you get in touch with some of those emotions and help you access your vulnerability. And the other piece that I want to say, you know, it's really easy for me to say, well, just, you know, share your experience with your friends or, you know, with your loved ones. But for you in particular, I want you to be really picky about who you go to, because your vulnerability is so sacred and it's so rare that you get to reveal it to others. I want you to think about who in your life is a safe person, who is warm, who is caring, who is loving, who is validating and expressive of their own emotions, who can hold their own emotions in self-compassionate ways. Those are the places I want you to really focus your sharing towards, not people that are dismissive, not people who don't share their own experiences. You want to be around people that could help you and really validate your experience. And also, you know, thinking about engaging in activities that could help you emotionally express or connect. Using creativity as an outlet, a support group can also help in your healing process. And lastly, you know, people that have fearful avoidant attachment patterns have a very unique, a little bit more complex response to breakups. And sometimes they, you know, want to reconnect with the person they're no longer in relationship with. And other times they can feel themselves pushing that in a way. So there's a little bit of a push-pull that happens even in the breakup experience, and a lot of doubt similar to dismissive avoidant that can be present, a lot of conflicting feelings. And they can also really find it challenging to navigate the breakup process because they go through those same feelings of confusion and ambivalence that they experience during the relationship, right? So those feelings go with them whether they're in a relationship or not. So getting that support with a professional can be really, really valuable. If there's unresolved wounds from the past for someone with fearful avoidant, this is where sometimes they can really arise. And we want to make sure that, you know, the stories that start to come up, that, you know, people aren't trustworthy, relationships aren't safe. We want to make sure that we don't, you know, rigidly hold on to those stories and make them true about everyone, right? Because those stories can be amplified post breakup. So they might, you know, somebody with more fearful avoidant tendencies might experience more emotions of maybe denial or anger or depression after going through that breakup experience. And it's really, really important for them to take some time to process any past experiences that may also be arising due to this breakup. Another piece that's really important is the self-regulation piece, right? Because regulation can be really challenging for people with fearful avoidant patterns. And when we're going through a breakup, we can feel super dysregulated, super anxious, super overwhelmed. And overwhelm is very present for people that have this patterning style, right? So thinking about places and spaces and activities that you can do that can help you with your regulation process, and to be really mindful of those self-narratives, right? The stories you're telling about yourself, and to really reframe those with more supportive and self-forgiving ones. And I want you to think about that for all the different attachment styles, the importance of regulation, of positive self-talk. I would say even not even positive self-talk, because I think that can even be bypassy. Nourishing and validating self-talk. And by that, I mean, you don't have to take yourself to envisioning something that's not believable. You know, I'm often really skeptical of a lot of affirmations that are out there, but you can start with simple things like, I did the best I could. I'm trying, I'm willing to learn from my experiences. I made mistakes, but I'm human and I learn from making mistakes, right? So spending some time and really thinking about what are some narratives that can really help you embrace your experience, embrace the emotional feelings that you're having in this moment and not judging yourself for them, right? Sometimes people that are going through grief can feel stuck or they can feel anger and they don't like those feelings. They're really difficult feelings. But part of integrating grief is making space for everything. I love, you know, one of my recent teachers, David Kessler, he speaks about, you know, integrating is making space for everything. It's making space for the hard feelings. It's making space for the joy feelings. And it's making space to embrace the past as well as acknowledging how you want to move forward. I'm going to be doing an episode very soon on self-forgiveness. I'm going to be creating a meditation for this because I feel like this is something that we can all struggle with post-breakup. And I will be releasing that soon. So stay tuned. And if you are somebody that is going through a breakup experience, whether it's a friendship or romantic relationship, and you would like support, this is one of my favorite ways of holding space for people. I would love to learn more about you. And you can find my info. I'm going to put it in the show notes to book a free consultation with me and see if we would be a good fit to work together. If you're going through this right now, I'm sending you love. I'm sending you peace. I'm sending you self-acceptance and really just honoring whatever stage you're in right now in this process and to visualize you moving towards integrating your experience. Okay, till next time.